Turn to the book of Amos this morning, and we've seen what David said about praise. We've seen the corruption of praise, how praise was in heaven, how it's been corrupted by the devil. And I want to look at one more aspect, and we want to finally get to some of the practical aspect of praise. But before I do, let's look into Amos. We don't go to Amos very often, do we? And if we could look in Amos chapter 5, you know, there's a true praise and there's a false praise. There's true worship and there's false worship. Remember, Jesus said to the woman at the well, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Now, we can have a worship meeting and end up not worshiping. Do you follow what I'm saying? We drive a certain number of miles to come here. We drive through the villages and all to get here on Sunday. And we see these little churches with their little signs out front. Some of them say, worship service, such and such a time. Another one says they're having a big Easter egg hunt. I don't know how you could call that worship, but it's a ritual that they go through. Israel went through rituals, by the way, and some of them were not worshiping. And here's God's attitude towards some of the things they were doing. All right, this is what I want to see in Amos. These prophets were crying out, the heart of God, they were crying out to the people what God's attitude toward them, what they were doing. So Amos chapter 5, verse 20. Shall the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness in it. I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. I think that's a place we can quit. We could read the whole chapter, read the whole book for that matter. God, you know, if God says I hate something, it gets my attention. It really gets my attention. And I'll talk about me. I caught myself again today. We're worshiping. We're praising. The words are coming forth. The music is coming forth, and my mind goes off. And I'm thinking, my God, I'm going to get up and say that God hates that, and I'm guilty too. My mind went off. I don't know where it went. I just know that I wasn't focusing on words that were coming out of my mouth. I'm just, they're mouthing it. God says, I won't smell that sacrifice. I don't want it. I don't want your peace offerings and whatever it is you're giving. There's another verse here in Amos, chapter 6. Yeah, we'll just turn over the page here. Chapter 6, verse 3. Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seed of violence to come near, that lie on beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. My, doesn't that sound like this generation? not only invent instruments, but invent new songs that have nothing to do with praise. Amen? One more verse. That drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with a chief ointment, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Let's go to Isaiah. We have a few more. I want to get to Brother Jehoshaphat. I love that. And I thought, how can we talk about praise without getting into King Jehoshaphat? But before we get there, let's look at what God doesn't want. Okay? Isaiah chapter 1. Do I want to go to chapter 1? Yes, I want to go to chapter 1. A few verses here. Start in verse 11. Isaiah 1:11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, saith the Lord? What is it accomplishing? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? I mean, who asked you to even come in here? Amen? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths. See, even the gatherings. Amen? The calling of assemblies. I cannot. Away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. And maybe I should add the next verse. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So God is asking for something in the heart. Let's do more. I mean, I'm telling you, I like the whole book, but let's go a little further, read it says. Amen? If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So, one more place in Isaiah. Isaiah 24. Isaiah 24. Verse 3 and 4 to start with. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away, and the world languisheth and fadeth away, and the haughty people of the earth do languish. Let's go over to verse 7 now. It says, the new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth, all the merry-hearted do sigh. The mirth of tabrets ceases, the noise of them that rejoice endeth, the joy of the harp ceases. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up, that no man may come in. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. The city is left desolation, and the gates smitten with destruction. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree and as the gleaning of the grapes when the vintage is done. See, we're going to just go a few more verses. Then shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. From the uttermost part of the earth have ye heard songs, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon me, O inhabitant of the earth. So what the Lord is saying here is, even in spite of the great difficulties, amen, and we complain, we say, oh God, the treacherous, they've robbed me. But the Lord is saying, no, even in that, you can sing and you can praise the Lord. Amen. Now, let me go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the one that I've really been wanting to get to. You know, whenever you say 2 Chronicles 20, you know automatically that you're going to Jehoshaphat. Now, let me read. Yeah, I need to read Isaiah in the that first chapter in Isaiah. I need to read that in the Amplified for you too, so you can just see what the Lord is really saying here. 11 through 17, all right? To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, unless they are the offering of the heart? No, I'm in Isaiah. I'm sorry, I went back to Isaiah because I want to read it in the Amplified Bible. All right, to what purpose, unless it's from your heart? Okay? Says the Lord, I've had enough of the burnt offerings of rams and fat of fed beasts without obedience. I've had enough of it without obedience. Okay? And I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of he-goats without righteousness. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you that your unholy feet trample my courts? Bring no more offerings of vanity, emptiness, falsity, vainglory, and futility. Your hollow offerings of incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure. It is iniquity and profanation, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your hypocritical appointed feasts my soul hates. They are an oppressive burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. And when you spread forth your hands in prayer, imploring help, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Relieve the oppressed and correct the oppressor. Relieve the oppressed. He's saying you're going to have to look out of yourself and help somebody else. Correct the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Now, there is something very powerful about true and genuine praise. I said, I brought you both sides here this morning. False praise, ritualistic praise, just cranking it out. God is saying, I don't want any more of it. If it's not genuine, if it doesn't come from purity of heart, if it doesn't come from righteousness, if it isn't built on obedience to me, I don't want to hear it. It's just making noise. Now, in the days of King Jehoshaphat, I got 1 Chronicles 20. No wonder it didn't look right. 2 Chronicles 20. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them also besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. By the way, there were three armies that came against them. You'll get to that. The Moabites, the Ammonites, and Mount Seir. Now, these are all relatives of Jacob. Esau was his brother. That's Mount Seir. Moab and Ammon were, shall we say, the grandsons of Lot. Call them his sons, if you wish. The sons of Lot. All family. And the whole family clan now has multiplied, and they're all going to come against Israel. Jacob's new name, by the way, Israel. He has power with God. Okay? And it says, there came someone, and told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side, Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon-Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now, notice what motivated Jehoshaphat. Fear. Are we so proud that we can never admit that we're afraid? Oh, I'm not afraid. I trust God. And you're shaking in your boots while you say it. Come on. God doesn't mind if we admit it, because it motivated him to seek the Lord. Now, when Jehoshaphat said we need to fast, it wasn't because, okay, it's Lent time, everybody needs to eat nothing but fish. No, that isn't. That's a ritual. I don't know how God can look at such a thing. When people are living such, you've heard me before. You know the terrible, the excesses that succeed these kind of ritualistic things. Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras is part of Lent. Did you know that? Yeah. It precedes Lent. In other words, go hog wild, go crazy, do all kinds of debauchery, because tomorrow you have to be good. And it goes on in South America as well. Some of these parades that go on in these big South American cities, horrible, horrible things that are being done on these floats that go through. Every now and then you hear about it. I remember Paul Harvey talking about it one time, and it opened my eyes. I never realized what this was all about. Well, I don't want to get onto that. What I want to do is say, Jehoshaphat, his heart was motivated. He was moved. There's big problems. There's trouble coming. Amen? And I believe that this has been a motivation of godly men for many, 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 many years. When something terrible is at hand. I'm sure that brethren have been getting together and praying for the little sister that's her life is threatened again. The what's the name of the disease? The leukemia is back now, and the doctors are saying there's nothing more that they can do. They can pump her full of chemotherapy, but it isn't going to stop it anymore. So these are the kinds of things that motivate us to call upon the Lord, cry out to the Lord, God, I'm going to die unless you do something. And this is basically what Jehoshaphat was saying here. God, we're all going to be wiped out. All the armies are coming against us, and we do not have the strength to go against them. What has stirred them up is the devil, of course. The devil wants to destroy us. And you know, it isn't just that they're coming against you with swords and natural weapons. They come against you with words as well, to wipe you out, to destroy you. Amen? It says, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. What a gathering that must have been. You know, they didn't have an agenda. They didn't say, well, this one's going to speak at 10 o'clock, and this one's going to speak at 3 o'clock, and nothing like that. Come from all the cities. Send representatives. Send the elders in. We've got to seek the Lord. We are going to be destroyed. It's like saying the government has passed a law now that they're going to go out and they're going to arrest everybody that does not submit to the beast. And they've got concentration camps waiting. What are you going to do if you ever hear such news? Are we going to get together and cry out to the Lord and say, "Oh God"? It could happen. Come on, it happened in Germany. In my lifetime, maybe not in your lifetime, but in my lifetime. Amen. Yes, and the signs, the very same signs of trouble are in the wind today. The very same kind of laws are being passed, not just in America, but in other countries. You go to Canada, our neighbor, and preach certain things, righteous things, and you can be arrested for it. Yes. What are we going to do when we hear the rumble of the tanks on our streets? What are we going to do when we see the uniformed officers knocking door to door? What are we going to do when we see they put a little sign on each house? This one, okay, no, don't take this one. Yeah, what are we going to do? I don't know that that's the way it's going to happen, but something's going to happen to get our attention. I'm not going to write another fiction bestseller, you know. By the way, I found a whole bunch of those fiction bestsellers that I bought years ago back in the 80s. I'm going to sell them. I went on eBay. Guess what they're getting for them? $1 a piece. Hey, I paid $20 for some of those books. Back when $20 was worth more than it is today. Yeah, yeah. Amen? No, we're not going to write another book. But we're going to see it happen. Yeah. Then you can write the book. Okay? It says, "And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court." Now, this is not the kind of gathering that Isaiah was talking about. Why are you bringing your filthy feet into my court? These are righteous people seeking God in righteousness. Amen? This is a righteous king, by the way. Yes, I know he got deceived by Ahab, but he's still a good man. Amen? "And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and built thee a sanctuary wherein for thy name, saying, If evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee for our affliction when thou wilt hear and help." Now, by the way, indication the way Jehoshaphat prayed is that Jehoshaphat knew the word.
That's right.
He was praying the word that God had given to Moses when they came out of Egypt, and as they were coming toward the promised land, some of the last things that the Lord told Moses, "Tell the people this, if thus and thus happens, thus and thus. If they do thus and thus, I will do thus and thus. If they turn against me, this is what's going to happen. If they in righteousness cry out for help, I will help." Now, Jehoshaphat knew the word of God. What a contrast to some of these kings that didn't have a clue as to what the word of God was. But here's a man that knew the word, and he's calling on God, and he's saying, "God, you said, if we call upon your name, that you will hear and that you will answer, and you will deliver us from our enemies. And I'm calling on you, Lord, this is a covenant we have with you. I'm calling on you to make good your side of the covenant. And we're making good on our part in worship of you and trust in you and dependence upon you. Amen. And now, amen, hallelujah. We stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Now, Jehoshaphat's concept of the house of God was still Old Testament. He understood it as the natural house, okay? Here's the brick, here's the stones. This place, these confines, these rooms are where you live. But today we will call upon the Lord in a different way. We will say, God, we are your house. We are tabernacles. These tabernacles make up the city of God. We are the Mount Zion house of God. And we, your house, are calling upon you now. Save your house. Amen? Your name is on us, this house. Save your name, Lord. Don't let your name go down among the heathen. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which is Esau, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them. Now, by the way, Israel probably had the power to destroy them at that time. Why did they have the power? Because every Israelite was there. Every man of war. They weren't all dispersed out into their quiet little villages, you know, raising sheep and growing vineyards and gardens and what have you. No, they were all there. The whole army of Israel was right there. They could have wiped them out. God said, no, they're your brothers, leave them alone. And now Jehoshaphat is saying, look, you wouldn't let us touch them. Now look how we get rewarded. Now they come to destroy us. My goodness. Sounds like the life of a Christian, huh? Amen. So, verse 11, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Do you believe God is pleased to hear that? How many times have you ever come before God and you said, you know, I've run out of ideas. I've run out of plans. I don't have any more options. I don't even have a fallback position. That's gone. They're coming to wipe me out. I mean, I'm getting letters from lawyers now. They're threatening me. How many of you remember the first time you ever got a letter from a lawyer? Do you remember how you felt? Or maybe some of you, maybe some of you never have got a letter from a lawyer. But I'll tell you what. I was shaking in my shoes. And I remember, nothing came of it, by the way. Nothing came of it. There wasn't anything they could do. And I remember, I don't know where I was, doing business somewhere with some people. And I don't know, probably had something to do with hospital business. I don't know what we were doing. But I remember one of the, there was a lawyer there. And he says, let me send them a letter. I said, what can you do? He says, I just want to shake them up. I want to rattle them. He said, they get rattled, they'll give in to you. But he had no legal ground. He just said, let me send him a letter and I'll shake him up. You see the enemy's tactics? Let me threaten them. It's probably a lie, but let me tell them some terrible things that are going to happen if they continue to do what they're doing. And they'll give in. And they'll tremble and they'll shake. And so sometimes it isn't always a fake thing that you get a letter. Sometimes they really have some basis. And you know it. You know they can wipe you out. And you cry out to the Lord, Lord, we don't know what to do. I don't have any more plans. I remember I was going to lose a house. And the reason I was going to lose the house was because I was doing what God told me to do. And therefore, I was deprived of enough income to make the payment. And I cried to the Lord. I said, God, I don't know what to do. You gave me this house. You know, this is the same thing as what Jehoshaphat is saying. You brought me to this house. You gave a word of the Lord that I was to have this house, that we were to have this house. You made it specific. You gave a prophetic word. And now, I don't understand why you want to bless the heathen with this house. But that's your business. It'll be your job to find me another dwelling place, to shelter me from the cold, and to keep me from the elements. Blessed be the name of the Lord, if that's what pleases you, God. I don't understand your ways, but I'll submit to you if that pleases you. You know what? Bingo. A buyer came along. Paid it all off. But not until I had run out of options. By the way, I went to pay the bill. Oh, and the bill that I owed, it was an illegal bill. But they cheated me, and I had to pay it anyway. Yeah, they defrauded me. I was supposed to have it paid by there was a provision made. It was a medical bill. And I knew the law. I knew that I was supposed to be under the Hill-Burton Act. And I went to the hospital and I said, I'd like to have this all put together now and I'll apply for that thing. And they said in the business office, they said, well, why don't you make sure that all the bills are in and then come back about a week later and we'll take care of it. Guess what? A week later was January 3rd. Oh, we stopped that program December 31st. Now you have to pay the, I don't know, $50,000 or whatever it was. And by the way, I had worked at that hospital and I had appealed and had gained that hospital several million dollars. But a king arose that did not remember Joseph. No, I'm just telling you, God delivered. And he takes you through these experiences that you might come in to the city of the living God. Have you read any of those books that you passed out? Tommy Cook's? Have you read that book yet?
No.
You got to read it. It's true, Tommy Cook. Blessed word. A lot of repetition. But Tommy repeats, you know, he did that. But you know what? You're going to get the point. You have to go through these trials if you really want to be a son of God. He says you have to go through 12 gates. I don't know what the 12 are. I'm thinking, God, have I been through 12 of them yet? Or if I've only been through 11, I've got another one to go through yet. And I don't know what their names are yet, but I just know Jehoshaphat and Judah had to go through this. They had to go through this to know that God can be relied on. He will not fail you. He'll take you down, and He might even wipe you out. He did that to me, and He called me Job. Yes, He said, He called me Job. He says, Job's complaint. In other words, He says, you're acting like Job. Well, on the one hand, that grieved me, because I thought, oh, I thought Job didn't have any flaws. But he did, because he was complaining. And Job came right out. You read the book of... He says, my complaint is thus and thus. And I want to have it out with God. I want to come before Him. I want to say, and He will say, and I will say, and He will say, and I've got my arguments all ready. And I had to come to the point where I said, I'm not going to complain. No more complaint. I deserve to be where I'm at. I deserve what I got. No more pride. No more saying I don't deserve this. No more saying I'm too good for this. You want to drop it on me? Let it rip. But blessed be the name of the Lord. However, Satan, I know that God can stop you. I know He has the power. And I know that you're going to find out. And I know that I'm going to be in the city of the living God. So, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I think this is what Israel said before God. Through the king, Jehoshaphat's words. Now listen. Let's go on. Verse 14. Verse 13 first. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. They didn't send the children to the nursery. They didn't send them to children's church. They sent them along with them to tribulation church. They didn't have women's church and men's church. Wives club. They're all together. The little children were standing. You know what? Those little children are going to remember. When they're 70 years old, they're going to remember. I was 5 years old. I heard the king cry out to God. I saw the tears coming down from the king. I wasn't in the battle, but my daddy was in the battle and he told me what happened. Those little children that came out of Egypt, they remembered. They're the ones that went into Canaan and fought the Ites. Because they remembered going through the Red Sea. They remembered the water on the sides, walking through with their mom and dad. They remembered. Hallelujah. Now, what does praise have to do with this? Then, verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, son of Jeliel, the son of Mattai, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. By the way, who are the sons of Asaph? What job did they have in the house of God? They were the singers. They were the ones that David appointed to be the singers. Your only job, sons of Asaph, is to sing and praise the Lord and make sure your heart is right before God. That's your only job. What a gift! So among this unknown Levite comes a word of the Lord, a prophetic word from a little man. Never heard his name before. Amen. And he said, "Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, you king, listen to what God has to say." Amen. "Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Zero." Boy, wouldn't you like to have that kind of intelligence? Now that's intelligence. That's not military intelligence. That's intelligence of the Spirit of God. I'll tell you right which way they're going to go. I'll tell you where they'll be at what time. Amen? Hallelujah. "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go ye out against them, for the Lord is with you." Amen. "Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground." You notice how he worshiped the Lord?
Hallelujah.
He felt the awesome presence of God in that word that man Jehaziel had spoken. King, 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 the king went down on his face before God. Amen. "And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord." Do you suppose those little ones were involved too? Do you think the wives were involved too? Oh yes. It says all. All. Amen. "And the Levites, so the children of the Kohathites and of the children of Korites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high."
Hallelujah.
"And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as," amen, "went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." What prophets was he talking about? You suppose he was including Jehaziel? Now, Jehaziel didn't write a book. Isaiah wrote a book. Ezekiel wrote a book. Amos wrote a book. But Jehaziel never did write a book, did he? But I believe that Jehoshaphat is calling Jehaziel a prophet. A prophet brought forth a prophetic word. A prophet of the Levites. That was probably one of the most significant words of prophecy that Jehoshaphat is ever going to hear. Well, maybe not the only. I mean, he knew Elijah too. Okay? "And when he had consulted with the people..." And when he had consulted with the people... You see, Jehoshaphat isn't just acting like a pastor. Well, this is what we're going to do. All right, everybody. Want you all here at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. No, he consulted with the people. What shall we do, people? And I believe the people heard the voice of the Lord, and they answered, he anointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness, the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, I don't think that they went out with amplifiers and electric guitars and anything like that. I think they went out, I don't know what instruments they had. It sounds like it was mainly singing, but they went out, Praise ye the Lord for the beauty of his holiness. I mean, they were, I don't know what kind of songs, the Psalms of David, you know, they weren't put into the same kind of music that we put them in, but there was a song in them.
Amen.
And there was a something that came out of their heart. And it says, and when they began to sing and to praise the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. What are ambushments? What's an ambush?
A surprise attack. You didn't see it.
Yeah. In other words, you're trooping down the road, and all of a sudden something jumps out ahead of you, or behind the trees, or something. I'm trapped. I thought I didn't know, you know. And so they're confounded, they're confused, and suddenly the fear comes on them. It says, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. So the Lotites are coming against the Esauites, okay? Utterly to slay and destroy them. And then when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped destroy another. Boy, it sounds just like the Mideast today, doesn't it? Do you know, they say and proclaim that they're going to have Islam all over, and then peace will come. Why are you laughing? Because you know they kill one another.
That's right.
Then it'll be the Shiites against the Sunnis, and the Sunnis against the other ites, and the
Sunnis against the Sunnis, because the group isn't holy.
That's right. They're not holy enough, and so you keep killing until there's one guy left. That's the way it is. And then he commits suicide in honor of whatever. Okay, so that you see, these we're talking about are descendants of these people. Mm-hmm. And when Judah came toward the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. I don't know why it was, but in those days, these fellows that went to war took all their gold and silver with them. I mean, they decorated their camels with silver chains, and I mean, it was like people do to their cars, you know. Or maybe they don't do it to their cars, but back when I was young, they used to put all these trinkets on their cars. And these guys did that to their camels and what have you. So when everybody's wiped out, Israel just comes and collects all the silver and all the gold and all the precious jewels and this type of thing. It says they took them 3 days to clean up. It says that on the fourth day they assembled themselves together in the valley of Berechiah, for there they blessed the Lord. You see, they didn't forget the Lord when it was all over. They said, okay, now we can go home. No, they said, we're going to bless the Lord now. Amen? Therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Berechiah, unto this day. Then they returned every man to Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. Now listen, they didn't forget to say thanks. It says, and they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets into the house of the Lord. Nobody was saying, oh, no, you can't do that here. It's against our tradition. You can't blow those horns in here. They came to thank the Lord. And you know what? I believe the Lord was pleased. The Lord isn't saying, away with all this stupid stuff. I don't want to hear it. No, that wasn't the situation. It says, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. You know what? When the devil gets a good whipping, the word goes out in hell. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The word goes out in hell. You demons, leave that woman alone. Leave her alone. She's throwing some of our best devils into the abyss. She's killed them. Her prayers are heard before God. Don't you touch her kids. She'll tear you up. I'm talking spiritually. Her reputation is known. And the fear, see, we're putting it into today's terms, and the fear goes out in all those demonic regions. And when that woman comes into town, I'll use a woman, the devils tremble. I know that. We've been through some of those. Amen? I remember, and Madeline, you and Larry remember the days when the battle concerned Liza. And Janet used to say, "Oh, I'm a woman. Women don't go to war. Women don't fight. We women don't like to do that." Guess what? She found out. I am not going to let that devil take my young one.
Amen.
Amen? And she fought. And you know what? And she got a reputation in hell. And she got power. She had an anointed word. And when she began to rebuke the devil, you could sense the trembling in hell. This is what happens when you win victories like this in the Lord. Let me take you to one final verse here. I promise you we weren't through with Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 30. And I want to show you in Isaiah chapter 30 exactly what happened here in this situation with Jehoshaphat. It's just one or two verses. We start in verse 29. Well, I don't know where to start. Let's start with verse 27. It says, "Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger. And his lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire." How would you like to face a God like that? You want to be on the right side, don't you? You don't want to be an enemy of God. Well, I mean, I discovered that too one time. I don't want to be on the wrong side. I want to be on God's side because I'll never win. Amen? "And his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations with a sieve of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err." Now verse 29. Here's what I'm looking for. "And ye shall have a song, as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart." Amen? "As when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel." He's talking about a pipe now, an instrument of praise, okay? "And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning down of his arm, with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones." Amen? "For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod." And here's the key here. "And in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, with the Lord, which the Lord shall lay upon him, it shall be with tabrets and harps, and in battles of shaking will he fight with it." This is what happened in Jehoshaphat. The staff of the Lord came down on the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Edomites. And it says here, in every place where the staff, that's the rod of the Lord coming down, the grounded staff here is the staff of punishment. Okay? The Lord, which the Lord shall lay on him, it shall be with tabrets and harps, the instruments, the praise, the song going with it, and battles of shaking will he fight with it. Amen? So, don't despise the song of the Lord. There's a lot of power in it. There's much to defeat the enemy. I might say that, you know, we talked about Satan and how he had been the angel of praise in heaven. He was an angel of true praise before his fall. He corrupted it when he fell. But you know what? I believe with all my heart that true worship and true praise is a terror to him today. He hates it. And if you want the devil to flee, give him some good praise. I mean, not him. Give God good praise in the face of the devil. And he will exit stage left. He's gone. God bless you. And Lord, we do thank you again today for the word that you've given to us. And we pray that we will learn from the experiences that we have, Lord, that surely we will be able to pass through the gates into the holy city and be part of that glorious people that bow before your throne and worship and praise. In Jesus' mighty name we ask. Amen. God bless you.